Black Jesus.
Show on radio. It's the Nor'easter Sportscast. It's Sunday morning. We're live because we decided to go live this week, although this may be the last week we go live. We're going to have to see. We're working it out, but it's Sunday morning. It's the fall. I am the coach. This is the Nor'easter Sportscast. I am here, as always, with the big sin, Keith Pfeiffer. Keith, mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
It's fall.
Wait, was there some controversy last night, like about the name, the coach, the king? Was I seeing that right, Kyle?
I don't know. I honestly didn't think that we were even going to address it. But
no, we don't have to. Yeah. We don't have to. It could be an inside joke. Me and you. We'll move on.
It is. And we can listen. Here's what it is, right? I'm going to break it out to people as simply as possible, right? When you spend your life, you dedicate your life to something, and like sports talk, like we do here. We take our time. We have a show. We do this all week. We talk about sports. It's part of our vibe. It's part of what we do every day. When you have big opinions, people will come at you, and people come at me all the time. And like I said, when you come at the king, just don't miss. Just don't, because the king stays the king. That's all I'm saying. So,
all right.
We don't need to dig in any more than that. But
all right.
Jealousy's a weak girl, man. Anyway, so really cool, really quick. Woke up this morning, get ready to do the show, and I need to run to the store, get some things this morning, and all across the landscape of beautiful Greenville, Rhode Island is smashed pumpkins all over the ground, right? And I needed to, it's getting to that point where I'm getting older now, and it pissed me off that they weren't my pumpkins. But I'm like, well, they were somebody's pumpkins. And somebody went out and spent money, or some kid carved those pumpkins, and then I stopped thinking like the perpetrator and started thinking like the old man. And I needed to stop myself. I mean, how on earth could I ever get mad? I stole and smashed more pumpkins in my life than I can even count. I between the ages of 8 and 18 or 8 and 17, right? How on earth could I get mad? So were you a pumpkin smasher or no?
No. I mean, maybe it was just where I grew up, but I had no desire to smash. If I was smashing anything, it's probably my PlayStation controller against the ground. That was probably the only thing I really smashed in my days. I think I broke about $400 worth of PlayStation controllers in my days from just getting, a little bit too angry over the digital guys with the digital hearts, never smashed pumpkins.
We call it the rage throw in my house. Because we still have it. And in my day, it was Sega Genesis controllers. It was.
Yeah.
It was Madden 94. And my mother would be like, why do I have to keep buying one of these a week? Mortal Kombat. Me and my brother would play each other in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody would get because my brother would do the same move over and over. There was no originality. He never did. He found a way that, if I played with Scorpion, he could just sweep my leg and you couldn't block it. So he'd just come and sweep my leg until all my energy was gone. I would get so pissed. I would swing the controller and hit him in the head with it. Yeah. So I'm very familiar with the rage quit and the rage controller toss, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, fighting games in general, I'm the worst at it. Like, I've made a conscious decision not to buy them anymore. But, like the fight nights, like the old boxing games, the UFC, like
yes.
Virtual Fighter, all the and Tekken, like all those fighting games, I like, but I just stay away from nowadays because I will literally, I will do something bad. And now I have like a nice TV, and I'm just so fearful that one of these rage throws is gonna go through my nice 60-inch curved 4K. And it's going to make me so sad that I just stay away from it completely now.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, when you do eventually have kids, someday down the road, Nicholas, one day, they were playing Wii guitar, like Guitar Hero on the Wii. And
yeah.
And he got mad at his brother and threw the guitar at him. And it smashed our then 66-inch plasma, which at the time was, you know, probably the top-of-the-line TV. It's as mad as I've ever been. He was probably 6 or 7 years old, and
oh.
I had to literally drive around. My wife called me, and she's like, oh, hey, bro, this thing's broken. And
yeah.
I was like, I had to drive around the block for a good extra hour because I thought I was going to kill him when I got in. Because again, it was the rage throw. So clearly the
yep.
rage throw has skipped, you know, has passed on generation to generation. But I get back to
I got one more for you, Kyle.
Yeah,
I got one more for you, Kyle. Freshman year of college, right? Playing Madden. There was 3 of us, Andy, Will, and me. We're playing Madden in our dorm room, right? And at this time, I haven't played a lot of Madden. So I suck at Madden, right? So I'm doing the same little out route with like Randy Moss, right? Because it's the only thing I can complete.
Yeah.
I got an overtime against Will, and Will's been playing Madden for a while. So he's been always kicking my ass now. And I throw this out route for the touchdown to win an overtime, and it was a pick 6 to the house, right? So I get so mad. I pick up my chair and I don't just throw it once. I throw it twice. I throw it once against the door and then I throw it again against my fridge and it ricochets and it breaks my roommate's Will's guitar. Like it snaps the neck in half. Yeah. And this is like, it's like a $600 guitar. Like it's not like a cheap guitar. So yeah. So that was probably my most expensive video game rage throw in the history of my life, and I'm hopefully I'll keep it that way. So, but anyway, back to Smash and Pumpkin.
I didn't want to. No. Now I've got not to one up the story, but to add. Now
yeah.
We're going to talk about the most expensive rage throw. I have to put mine in there. Now many remote controls, like one a week actually. Still, the remote control is a victim, and my wife
yeah.
at this point just comes out into the living room after the game in the morning, and the rage throw. That's the giant's rage throw, and that's
yeah.
fine. So many Smash controllers. So the 2000 New York Giants go to the Super Bowl with Kerry Collins, Jeremy Shockey, Tiki Barr. You remember that team, Amani
yeah.
Toomer, that 2000 team, and get blown out by maybe the best defense ever. Famously, Trent Dilfer wins a ring, and we bring it up for the preceding, you know, nearly 2 decades. So we know the game very well. Well, the following season. The Giants make it to the wild card round. They kind of limped in. I believe Kurt Warner may have taken over for Kerry Collins at that point. Oh, no, maybe not. So it's still Collins. And we're in my brand, the house that we just bought, was our first house that we purchased. The Super Bowl, we were in an apartment. It was the first house we ever bought. And it had like this sun porch on the second floor. And it was the TO game, the TO playoff game where Giants were up 28-0 going into the half. And TO just went off for the 49ers in the second half. And they ended up winning by a field goal. We could have tied the game had the refs not blown the call on an ineligible receiver, right? So it was a crazy play. And I had an office chair out on that sun porch. And the chair threw the sun porch window down onto a car into the that was parked on the street. So,
really? That's real life?
That is real life. And my father was there. My father wasn't really around that. I don't know why he was there, but like, you remember the Happy Gilmore, Lee Trevino, shaking his head at him, or
yeah.
whoever it was. Yeah. Shaking his head at, yeah, exactly. I look over at my father on the couch, and he's just shaking his head at me in disapproval. That probably the lowest point of my life. Like, the whole thing was the lowest point in my life. So that was my most costly rage throw. Office chair was probably $300. The windows were at least $500 or $600. And then the windshield on the car plus a little body work, another $2,000 that my homeowner would not cover. So, yeah. So there you go. The rage throw. And then, you know, my wife said, hey, why don't you find some creative ways to get that sports angst out? I'm like, all right, how about a radio show? She's like, all right, good. And then the Northeastern Sportscast is born. So here we are.
Here we are. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
so here
good.
We are.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah. That's awful. I've been there.
Listen, it happens. The passion is there, right? Like even the fight that that ensued last night, right? Like, here are four, you know, smart guys that are educated and have good jobs, and we turn into literal 5-year-olds screaming at each other over sports. It's what we do, and I don't apologize for it. It's who we are, and I'm completely okay with it. So, anyway, so the big thing is that, you know, the Giants win last week for me in a game that they absolutely should have lost. We haven't, you know, much talked about it, but it poses the question. It's funny the way that people view the Giants and view my football team, right? Because now I get this weird thing, like, you never know, I guess. People start texting me, I guess you never know. I guess you never know. They change the play calling, they do some things, and now, you know, the Giants do those weird runs at the end of the season to win Super Bowls, and people are like, if any team could do it, if any team could go on that kind of run and win, you know, 9 out of 11, it would be the Giants. So I love that people at least have that kind of respect for the organization, that they believe anything is possible. If this was the Saints, if this was even the Panthers or many other teams, that one win wouldn't even show up on the radar. But because it's the Giants, people are like, oh, hang on a minute. Like, you know, it's never been done before, but if any team could do it, if any organization could do it, it'd be the Giants. So at least it has breathed a little bit of life into the team. Now, do I believe that the odds are good? No, I still don't. I still don't believe they're good. I don't think it's likely that they do this. But I think all in our heads, this is something that could happen. Something that could happen.
Yeah. I think they're going to – I think they're a team that's perfect for that spoiler role. Like, I don't know. Like, I still think after the start they have, like, probably 7-9 – is probably the most realistic outcome. And that's still going 7-4 in your last, 11 games. That's not shabby at all. And they have Seattle. They have Seattle home today. So we'll see. We'll kind of see if – I'm not a big fan of Seattle, and I can see the Giants winning this game as well. But, the Giants are always a weird team that they have these weird – It's a very roller coaster ride. I mean, even when I was living in Albany, right? Giants fans, oh, this is going to be a shitty year. This is going to be an awful year. And then they win the NFC East and win the Super Bowl. And then, you know, I bust their balls a little bit. But like, you had no faith in your team at the beginning of the year. You know, don't try to act all cocky now. But I feel like that's just, you know, that's just the Giants in general, because like they're just a weird – they do weird stuff. They're not like – they just do weird – I don't know a better way to frame it, or a better, you know, better way to put it, but they just – they're a weird team that does weird stuff at weird times. So they lost 5 straight. That was weird because, you know, people were thinking they're probably one of the favorites in the NFC. And now they win – they go into Denver and win, which nobody really does. I mean, and not only did they win, they handled the Broncos. I mean, that wasn't even a game. It was the Giants through and through in that matchup. And now you have another NFC, I guess, heavyweight in Seattle. Now, I'm not sold on Seattle all too much, but they've been traditionally one of the best teams in NFC over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years. Coming into Meadowlands, this should probably be a game on paper that the Giants, you know, the Giants are – what I think 3.5-point dogs at home. So like Vegas is saying that Vegas, you know, the Giants are the underdogs team. They're not as good of a team, but, you know, this is another instance where, like, the Giants, I could see the Giants winning this. And you're like, I don't know what the hell this team is doing. Like, it's just so weird. They're so weird. Like, I'm nervous about the Giants coming into Lincoln Financial Field at the end of the season. Why? Because, like, I don't, like, these are the weird games that the Giants win. Or, I'm sorry, when the Eagles go into the Meadowlands at the end of the year. Like,
that's right.
The Giants aren't a 0-5 team. They're, you know, they're not a 1-5 team. They're like, they're just a weird team. And yeah, we'll see what happens. It could happen. I'm not putting it past them.
Well, especially in the weird NFC, and we can cover that. We can talk about that all we want. Teams are winning games that they should not win. And, you know, with Aaron Rodgers going down, and and Jay Cutler beating the Falcons, right? Like, did they beat the Falcons? You just don't. Anything can happen in the NFC, I don't know. I think 8-8 could take that second wild card spot, depending on how things go. I was also really surprised by this Thursday night game. It was a great Thursday night game, but shocked by the outcome. Again, nobody knows Andy Reid better than you do. Is this an Andy Reid move to lose two games back to back like this? Will this define who they are? Is this a character builder for Kansas City? Is now a refocused car coming back? Is that team what we thought they were now? Because they certainly didn't look it to this point, right? We both thought the Raiders were going to have a good season this year, and they didn't start off so great, but boy, did they look good on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, they finally got Amari Cooper going a little bit, and that helps. I mean, that guy's a stud. He was a stud for the first 2 years, and he was, I think, going into Thursday night was averaging like 26 yards a game. So something was going on there, and I don't know. You know, the car injury does have something to play with, but there was probably a little bit more. With the Chiefs, if we're going to start with Chiefs and Andy Reid, I still think they're a good team. I do think, you know, when you were talking about the refs in the 49ers and the Giants game, it reminded me a little bit about Thursday night. I think the Raiders did get a little help from the Zebras that game. I think the Raiders had, three or four untimed downs at the end of that game to win it. It was just sketchy stuff, but at the end of the day, you still have to stop them. But I think the Chiefs, once the weather starts getting a little colder, you know, the Chiefs offense is going to be a little bit more dink and dunk. You know, I think what's made the Chiefs so dangerous over the first 5 or 6 weeks is that they actually had a vertical threat. They were actually able to push the ball downfield and, you know, Alex Smith was like playing at an unreal number. I mean, Alex Smith this year is 72% from the pocket. He has 1,000, you know, he's averaging 282 yards a game. He has 15 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. I mean, that's pretty unreal for Alex Smith. But I do think when the weather changes here, that's going to change a little bit things. Traditionally, Chiefs have always struggled in Oakland, especially on a Thursday night. I think the Oakland Raiders, when they were 0-10, got their first win of the year Thursday night when the Chiefs came into town. So this was always going to be a tough game for the Chiefs to begin with. But maybe the Raiders are coming back. I think the Chiefs, they are who they thought they were. They're going to be a 11-5, 12-4 team that fizzles out in the playoffs. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean that's really possible. So, all right. Well, we're 22 minutes in. We started off with sort of the wheels off this program with smashed pumpkins and rage throws. So, we can get this bad boy back on track. Why don't we quickly do what we do? Let's go through the matchups and we'll see what I can add to some fantasy value. We do have some injuries that we want to update for people. I've got a couple of emails and stuff, so a couple questions from fantasy, and so If you want to queue them up, and we'll knock them down one by one and see.
Okay.
It's a good time to check in, right? I mean, we're coming into week 7. I think we need to do a bigger mid-year review show maybe at some point next week. We may do that from our new headquarters in Providence, Rhode Island, but now renting studios, right? We'll be broadcast live from the now renting studios or broadcasting from there and possibly re-airing it. We'll see. So, let's get it started in here.
Okay. We're picking them up and putting them down here. We're going to start with Tampa Bay is at Buffalo. Buffalo is -3 here. Record, Buffalo is 3-2, second in the AFC East, Tampa Bay 2-3, fourth in the NFC South. I mean, I don't know how much interest I have in this. I know, are you still, Kyle, as big on the NFC South as you were at the beginning of the year?
Well, I mean, I'd like to say yes, and did we anticipate that Carolina would be at the top of that food chain? You know, I think it's still an interesting division. I think that so yes, still high. A little disappointed in Tampa Bay, and I think that Atlanta's season comes down to today. I believe that they might be able to, they may be the team that breaks the jinx. They come into New England and win that game. I think I could still be high on them. A little disappointed in Jameis Winston, although he's been dinged up. It's still early, but yes, I still feel pretty strongly that two or three of those teams are going to make a push when push comes to shove.
All right, sounds good. I mean, do you have a winner in this game? So it sounds like you're taking Tampa Bay in this matchup.
I think I am, yeah. I think I'm going to go Tampa Bay. I don't have to go in the points. I think you see some stuff out of, you have a running back situation down there now. It's actually not even a situation, for those guys that, Doug Martin on the bench. I think, you drafted him. For him to be here at these points, and you have to play him now, obviously. So not a lot of implications on Tyrod Taylor is still that fringe guy in a bye week that you might need to pick up. Actually, I don't hate that this week. If you've got a quarterback on a bye, if you're trying to make up some points, Tyrod Taylor is not, he's pretty consistent. He may get you the 10 or 15 that you need out of a replacement quarterback. So look to Tyrod if you're replacing a bye week quarterback this week. But yeah, I'm going Tampa Bay.
Okay, yeah, I'm probably going to take Tampa Bay +3 here. You know, all things considered, I'll take the 3 points and put them in my pocket. We'll stay in the NFC South here. Carolina is visiting the Chicago Bears. The Bears are 3-point home underdogs. This is a 1 o'clock matchup. I mean, Cam Newton actually hasn't been – I mean, the three interceptions last week really kind of killed me in fantasy, but it's going against the Eagles, so I'm not going to complain. But he's actually put up some decent numbers fantasy-wise. I mean, what's going on with the running back situation right now in Carolina? Is McCaffrey's getting the ball a lot out of the backfield as almost like a run or a pass catcher, but –
Yeah, I
think Jonathan Stewart is injured or he's questionable for this game. What do you have any idea what's going on there?
I do, and so I don't know if he's playing. I don't know if he's not playing, but you're sitting him no matter what today. And I think you may as well be sitting him. He's not going to provide any level of consistency at this point. Mm-hmm. He had less than 2 points 2 weeks in a row. He's not a guy that you're going to rely on. He may show up and give you one big game here or there. I guess if you need a deep flex or a deep RB3 in the season to make up buys, you may have no choice but to start him. But he should not be on your radar right now. McCaffrey has consistently produced. Especially over the last 3 weeks. So from a fantasy perspective, I think that's where they're leaning to now. That's the future in Carolina is McCaffrey. He is a bit more of a that slot sort of Shane Vereen type player, but maybe with a little more skill. Start McCaffrey if you have him with the, it's 17 points last week. So in standard scoring leagues. So go with McCaffrey. I like him.
Yeah. The line opened up at 3.5. It's only moved a half a point down to -3. I think Chicago could give Carolina fits, but at the end of the day, I'll take Carolina -3 a little bit here. This is Mitch Trubisky's second game. I think there's going to be some growing pains, and Carolina's coming off like a 10-day rest period. So traditionally, teams this year that are coming off an extended period of rest are like 11-1 against the spread. So I'll take Carolina in this matchup. We're kind of going on to a game that kind of a snooze fest here, in my opinion. We have the Tennessee Titans are visiting the Cleveland Browns. The Tennessee Titans are 5.5-point favorites, meaning the Browns are 5.5-point dogs in this matchup. I don't care. I'll eat the points in this matchup, but I really don't want to go more into it. Anything here, Kyle, that is relevant outside of Mariota?
Yeah, so I say this week people have been struggling a little bit with the Titans offense from a fantasy perspective. So if I had to make any two suggestions, it would be to start Henry this week.
Okay.
And to sit Eric Decker. I think you want to avoid him like the Black Plague. So many inconsistencies again, and I think Henry's a good play this week.
Okay, so I'm playing him then. I mean, do I play?
Yeah.
I have to play him over Isaiah Crowell, right? Because Isaiah Crowell has done nothing in the first couple of days to give me actually hope. So I'm actually making that switch as we talk right here, Kyle.
I think that's the Kyle switch
on air right now. All right, beautiful.
I really like that. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as Crowell is concerned, I don't think Duke Johnson. I'm not ready to drop him with bye weeks coming up yet. But boy, people in that late 7, 8, 9, 10 spot, or even 9, 10, 11, 12 spot in fantasy leagues, had no choice when they drafted a receiver in the first two rounds, whether it was Thomas or Mark Thomas or Demaryius Thomas. Those late round, first round wide receiver picks pushed you into having to pick Crowell in the. I'm sure that you picked post number 8, right? With that Crowell pick, that's the only thing that makes sense. Yep. So that's where you got him. And, it fell to you. There was nothing you could really do. But hopefully those guys are smart enough that if you drafted there to pick up guys like Mixon and got, later round decent picks that we'll get to later. But I think you can't drop him because we do have bye weeks coming up here and he, very inconsistent. He's on my bench right now too in the league. So, ride out Henry. And I'm not sure that Henry is going to be very consistent. He's like a Chris Ivory, Bilal Powell type of player that has amazing breakout games, and then we don't see him disappears for 3 weeks. So, but today, in my opinion, it's a good start.
Yeah, yeah. Here's one. So last night I get a text from our boy Killian, right? He's talking about this game, and this game is the Saints and Zach Green Bay. The Saints are only giving up, as of right now, 3.5. And Killian wants to hammer New Orleans here. They scored 60 points last week. You know, the Packers are playing with Hundley, which, let's face it, the Packers' offense over the last 5 years is let Aaron Rodgers run around and just do something miraculous and get first downs and touchdowns. So Andrew Killian wants to bet the house here on the Saints, and I'm telling him stay away. This is a line from Vegas that is baiting you. They want you to take the Saints. They're baiting you to take the Saints. But I'm saying that, you know, The Packers still have a winning record at home with backup quarterbacks in their Aaron Rodgers years. The Saints have no film on this Hundley guy. They have some preseason film. I say this is a little switch. And look, it's a little bit of a letdown as well. When you know Aaron Rodgers is on your schedule, you get pumped up for that game. Why? Because, like, he's one of the best in the history of the NFL. It's easy to get excited. it's not easy to get excited for this Hunley dude, all right? Like a guy that you don't even have any film of. So for that reason, I'm taking the home dog here with Green Bay plus 3.5. But I would suggest everybody in general be cautious, be very, very cautious of this line and of this game. This is one that Vegas is trying to bait you. But what type of fantasy implications we got here, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that, this is a strange game. And but I do agree with you on Hunley. I think that, but I want you to avoid, stay away like Vegas, like you're saying about Vegas and the line. Stay away. If you can avoid starting guys, like, and listen, you have to, when he's healthy, you have to start Jordan Nelson. I think if there's anything, and I guess Martellus Bennett, I don't know. I mean, I think you stay, if you have options, stay away from Green Bay today. You know, the other stuff is pretty status quo. You know, the Saints made a very good trade, I believe, to get Adrian Peterson out of town. It's a team that's playing with confidence. I think you have to start Drew Brees, although if you have a decent, you know, even if you have Jameis Winston, or if you have Carr has already played, but if you've got a second quarterback like that, I would avoid him too today. Avoid Brees. I think it's an interception day for him. I don't love any of it. I think it's a terrible game. I think you should stay away from it. And I think Green Bay wins this game. I think pretty handily on top of it.
Gotcha.
A bad team. So.
Yeah. Here we go. We got another. We have another fantastic matchup here between the 23rd ranked quarterback in the league versus the number 27th ranked quarterback in the league. Do you have any idea what matchup I'm talking about right now, Kyle?
23 versus 27 in the league. I really don't. I mean, I'm just trying to run it through in my head really quickly. Let's say that it's, I don't know.
It is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts.
And you know, I was
gonna believe it or not,
son of a bitch.
Yeah, Brissett is actually the higher ranked quarterback in this situation, but I digress. This is another game that if you're a fan of one of these teams, I give you complete permission to do a rage throw at the end of the game if your team loses. I think it's only fitting. You're probably doing yourself a favor if you don't have to watch this football to begin with. But Colts are home, which they actually been playing better with Brissett, and they're home dogs here. They're home dogs here. So I might take the plus 3 here. I'm not having a strong feeling either or. I think Fournette is out. I think I got reports this morning that he's out for the game, which I think is huge for both fantasy implications and the game in general. So I'll take the Colts plus 3 against a Jaguars team that can't throw the ball, that will be forcing the ball to throw today.
I wouldn't count out. I think you're right. Right. So there are a lot of options out there. We've seen some players emerge. I still say that Andrew Luck is the MVP. If he does not suit up this year, I still say we make we want to make Jay Cutler our mascot. We also want to we want to push to make Andrew Luck the MVP, because boy, is that team pretty bad. And you're right. Jacoby Brissett has certainly stepped up. He's stepped up his game a bit, but I think you want to avoid this game. There's obviously no real wide receivers down there. I stay away from this game. No real fantasy implications with Fournette down. It's a snooze fest all around. I think I'd rather shove daggers in my eyes than watch that game. So,
You talked about our boy. Let's talk about our boy. Cutler, baby, coming back 17 points down, getting the win in Atlanta. Just leave him alone, guys. Just leave him alone. I don't care that he has 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. I don't care that he's only averaging 171 a year. He's my boy. You leave him alone. He's doing Jay Cutler things. I think he's going into – he's hosting the Jets today in Miami. They are – they're actually dogs in this matchup. No, that can't be right. I can't be seeing this right. No, okay, they're not. They're favorites. They're 3-point favorites in Miami. I'm saying Jay Cutler leading this team back to victory. And what are they right now? They're like, what? They're 3-2. Miami Dolphins will be 4-2 after this week? They are. They are. Because my boy Jay Cutler is coming in hot. Anyway, I'm sorry. Just leave him alone.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, no, leave Cutler alone.
Leave Cutler alone, guys.
Yep, yep. I listen, I like Jarvis Landry a lot. I think he's a good start this week. I think it's an ugly game. I think I was going to call it for the home team, whoever that was. So I'm going with you, for sure. And, yeah, man, divisional games, you never know. You don't know. These teams play each other so frequently. They game plan for them. They know each other's weaknesses. So the Jets could come down there. Literally. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say that they do. I'm going to say that the Jets roll down
there.
Oh, no. It's a blowout.
That's where boy Jay.
Yep. I'm switching it up. I'm saying because it's a weird divisional game, I say the Jets go down there and roll. Like, I say we look up at the score at, whatever, 212, and it's like 35-0 or 35-6. That's what I think.
Jay.
Yep. Sorry, Jay.
Break him Jay's heart. Yep. Just leave him alone. All right. Yeah. I could honestly, it's one of those shit games I could see going either way. But anyway, I digress.
Either way. Yeah.
Digress. So this is an interesting stat here. Arizona is 5-0-1 in the past 6 games against NFC West opponents and 9-3-1 in the past 13 versus the division. So really weird. The Cardinals are at the LA Rams. The Rams are 3-point favorites in this matchup, but the Cardinals look like a different team with AP or, you know, with Peterson back there. I mean, they actually have a balanced offense, actually giving Palmer some time to actually be in the pocket a little bit, because now they actually have to respect the play action and the run game of the Cardinals. So, I mean, is this a rejuvenated Arizona Cardinals? They're sitting at 3-3 right now, but it's not like that division is still up for grabs. You have the Rams are 4-2, Seattle 2-2, Arizona's 3-3. So everybody's within one win of each other. I mean, are we sleeping on Arizona a little bit now, or was that just a one hit wonder by Peterson last week?
Yeah, I'm selling on Peterson. I think a lot of people saw glimpses of, and again, if we were talking about, if this was 2012, they would be a Super Bowl favorite. I think I saw that headline this week. It's true. I think that if you had Fitzgerald and AP on the same team, I think they were both on the cover of Madden in 2012, as a matter of fact. But it's not, and we're not. And I think, again, not a lot of tape, not a lot of looking at the functionality of him in that backfield. I think it was a little alarming. They didn't get the 2 weeks they would normally have to plan against it. So I think not so much luck this week. I saw people make a lot of trades for Peterson, overvalued trades for Peterson that just didn't work for me. I was just like, Jesus, this guy's still an aged back that is not going great. So I'm selling on AP. I like Andre Ellington this week, believe it or not, as a fantasy play for that reason. So, I don't think that they're on the rebuild or I don't think that we're sleeping on them. I think that truly, the Rams may be the team that comes out of that division. Defense is playing well. Todd Gurley has returned to his roots, right, of scoring consistently. You have to be scared of that run team, that run game. So I like the Rams in this game all day long. I don't think AP does it again. So I think stay away. And everybody's going to start AP this week, but I say he has under 10 fantasy points this week, and the Rams win that game.
Okay, fair enough. Here we go. Baltimore is at Minnesota. Minnesota is -4.5. Honestly, Keenum does not play bad. Like, he's playing fairly well at home. That Minnesota defense at home is stifling. Joe Flacco is the guy was never really elite, but he was serviceable. But this year he looks like, I don't know, he looks like he took a step back a good bit. Their offense hasn't been healthy as well. I'll probably take the Vikings -4.5 just on the defense here. And I mean, this is the Vikings division to lose now, isn't it? With Rodgers being out, you know, this is the Vikings for the taking. So I think they have a little jump in energy and excitement here in the locker room. I mean, I don't know. Actually, I don't know why I say that. I don't know why I said that. That's a stupid fucking take. But anyway, Minnesota -4.5. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't know. This is the Prince game. This is what I'm calling it, right? I'm a big, huge Prince fan. But there's going to be so much purple in that, like just weird mashings of purple and bad offense, right? Like, I hate this game, but I believe that defense wins football games, and I think that you're right. It's a home game. And this might be a good opportunity for you to snag the Vikings defense if you don't have him. I think it's a kicker game and a defensive game. I don't think you're going to see anything. I don't even know what's happening in Baltimore. I don't even really care what's happening in Baltimore. So, yeah, I like Minnesota, and I like the Vikings D in this game.
All righty. Beautiful. Moving on. That wraps up the 1 o'clock games. Now we're moving into the afternoon games. So the 4:05 game we got, we have the Dallas Cowboys are at the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are 6-point home dogs in this matchup. I don't know. I don't know, man. Are the Niners starting CJ Beathard, that the farmer from Iowa? Is that who they're starting this week?
That's what I'm hearing.
Do we know anything about him except that he's from Iowa? And I mean, last week he was 19-36 for 245 with a touchdown and a pick. Not a great passer rating, not a great game in general, but it wasn't complete dog shit.
I guess not. I mean, I don't know. If you're talking about from a fantasy perspective,
I mean, you're not starting him. I'm just saying, like, is this going to be a game at all? Can San Fran make this
no.
a game at all at home?
No.
Okay.
No, this is not a Nick Folk situation. It's not.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that they need to sign Kaepernick tomorrow.
I think that ship has sailed. He's suing everybody now.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, moving on.
Yeah, move on. Seriously, I don't even know what I'm talking about.
All right, here we go. We have the Cincinnati Bengals are at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a 4:25 game. The Steelers are 5-point favorites at home here. But look at the Bengals have won 2 in a row. Are they coming back? Is this the game they
yes.
come back on? Are they
yes.
coming back home? All right.
They're coming back. They're coming back. A.J. Green is coming back. Dalton coming back. I like our early year prediction, right? It's coming true. So I'm a huge fan. Huge fan of Mixon, huge fan of a lot of good stuff going on there. So throw the house at those fantasy players this week, Dalton included.
All right. Yeah, I'll take the 5 points. I'll put the 5 points and put in my pocket in that game. I'll take Cincinnati +5. I think it should be entertaining. Moving on, we have Denver. The Denver Broncos are 1-point favorites at the LA Chargers. This is a 4:25 game. Can we really say the LA Chargers are the home team here? I mean, at best, this is played on a neutral site, correct? Because, I mean, I you know, so the fact that we're calling this the Chargers home, I do feel bad for Chargers players because they're not going to get a break all year. They're playing 16 games on the road, and it's just shitty. Like, I mean, home is supposed to be where you're supposed to protect the house, right? But the Chargers are – they don't have a house. They have a little box on the side of the road that nobody really cares about, and I just feel bad for them. But
isn't it a sad state of affairs? It really is.
I mean, that fan base was very good in San Diego. Yeah, they couldn't get a stadium built, but, like, it wasn't the worst fan base in the world.
No,
I feel
it really
bad
wasn't.
I feel bad for San Diego. I feel bad for Chargers players. But you know what? The league deserves this. This is what's going to happen eventually, right? They have moved 3 or 4 teams over the last couple of years. This was eventually going to happen where a new location wasn't going to be responsive to an NFL football team. I'll take Denver minus one here. I don't really care about this game, but we'll move on.
Have,
here we go.
Yeah, if you have options outside of C.J. Anderson, take them. Seriously, that's all I got.
I mean, it seems like you stay away from Broncos receivers in general here. Melvin Gordon playing, I think Melvin, you know, Melvin Gordon hasn't had a terrible year.
And watching Keenan Allen injury with two, that's actually a tough one because still no indicator on it. He actually had a weird shoulder injury, a weird shoulder injury in practice this week. So just keep an eye on it. I mean, you do have the, you do have the 1 o'clock games to decide whether he's going to play or not, but keep an eye on that injury today.
Okay. Sounds good. And we're coming down here. We got three games left. All are very interesting in my book. So we'll start with your Giants, Kyle. We got the Seattle Seahawks are visiting the New York Football Giants. Seattle is 3.5-point favorites in this matchup, meaning the Giants are 3.5-point dogs. But as we talked about earlier in our session here, I could see the Giants winning this. I'm going to take 3.5 points on the Giants here just because the Giants are a weird team. But is there anything else you want to add onto our discussion other than what we talked about earlier?
Well, my son wants to add, he mentioned this to me earlier. He said, when you go on the show, make sure you say that if Eli Manning comes back and wins the Super Bowl this year, he should be known as the greatest quarterback of all time. I think that's a smoking hot take. I'm not sure I would go that far, but but here is a kid who has to live in Patriots Nation and go to school every week in Patriots Nation during that was so two Super Bowl wins ago. Like it's amazing that he doesn't beat everybody up on a weekly basis. I think he'd like to, but so he's got to make big bold statements like that, and who can blame him? So I think this is a home. Went to Denver, right? Won that game in Denver. We know how it all happened. So now we've got a team that is very similar, right? I mean, this is a similar team, known to be defensive, but this is a home game with a reinvigorated crowd at MetLife Stadium. People are going to come into this game super pumped up. So you do have a 12th man present in this game. New play caller. I think they pick the defense apart. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of my Giants in this game all the way. This is where they turn the corner. And again, if you go 0-5 against really bad teams, well, some good teams, but some really bad teams, and then you come out and you beat Denver and Seattle, you have to be taken serious even though you're 2-5. So I think this is the beginning and the end. I'm going New York Football Giants, baby.
All right. Sounds good. Now the Sunday night game. This is the Super Bowl rematch. I mean, being where we live, Kyle, we've heard nothing about this matchup all week, right? Like this matchup, but it's a very interesting kind of pivot point for both of these seasons for both of these teams. So Atlanta is coming, right? They're 3-2. They just had a very, very bad loss to the Miami Dolphins, where they blew a 17-point lead. And then now they're going into New England, where everybody knows the history of that Super Bowl. And for the Patriots, they just don't look like the Patriots of old. There's something off about this team, and it's mostly on the defensive side of the ball. So it's kind of a tale of two tapes. I really think that this game will pivot upwards for one of these teams, and one of these teams is going to start to struggle. The line itself is 3-point. New England is 3-point home favorites, which is standard, which means Vegas kind of values these teams equally. We've talked about the Super Bowl hangover. The Atlanta Falcons cannot hold on to the lead, nor the Atlanta Falcons could be 1-5 this year. In all honesty, they should have lost two of those games that they did win. So I'm taking the Patriots here because they still know how to win football games, where Atlanta has proven time and time again that they know how to lose football games. Do you see that stat where Matt Ryan has six losses, not including the Super Bowl, of leads with 17 points or more in his career, which is double than second place? So for that reason, take a New England.
Yeah, so boy, I wanna. This is a bad. This is as bad of a Patriots team as we've seen in a really long time, and I think the fan base is even frustrated. And you point to the defense, and the defense has a lot to do with it. But you know, Captain Pliable is throwing some shit passes. Let's just be honest, right? I mean, he's throwing passes where the receiver is, you know, where everything got executed perfectly. The receiver is, you know, the play too, right? Like, you know, the play that I'm talking about where, you know, they need 8 yards for the first down. And that receiver is planted right at the first down mark or a foot behind it, completely standing there by himself to just make that catch and go out of bounds. And the ball lands 2 or 3 feet in front of the player in an uncatchable ball. I've seen this out of him at least a few times in each game for the season. So I think the Patriots are in trouble. I think that just like and listen, in my venom, in my anti-Patriots venom, I've said if you go back and you look over these past 15, 17 years and you look at any really crazy hard matchup throughout the course of the season, so many of the Indianapolis games, so many of the Steelers games, so many of the Denver games, that in a pivotal time for the Patriots, that they're played at home. And if you look at most games where you go, okay, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. The one game where you would look and go, ah, that's a tough game for the Patriots, it's always at home. And, you know, no big surprise that they have a restaurant and a store dedicated to CBS. And if you don't think that the TV money in the contract that has anything to do with them building a gigantic CBS scene restaurant there, you're dead wrong. The Patriots have been in that good old boys network for many years. It's Bob Kraft and the billionaire boys up at the top, putting the hard games. And, you know, you find out how the scheduling is done. It's done by this one guy down in the cellar in Tennessee or something. And he, if you don't think that he's been urged by the league and by the forces of the TV contracts to do these games. So it pisses me off that every difficult game that you see the Patriots play is at home. If they could play every game at home, they would. Like, there have been games like, hey, listen, we just have to schedule you this one on the road because, where they have a difficult schedule year, they're like, well, you can't play Denver, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis all at home this year. We have to at least put one on the road. And, you know, Kraft is like, well, why? Jonathan, why are they putting us on a road? Like, it pisses me off, dude, to no end. So I want them to lose this game because I think this is a game, one of those games that should have been played in Atlanta, but the Patriots got a layup as they do. I don't know. I want Atlanta to win. I don't think they do. I think this is a team that Belichick obsessed over and game planned for. I don't think that this team is that much different than it was when they saw them 9 weeks ago. Nine football weeks ago. So I go New England, but I'm really going to be rooting for Atlanta today.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm struggling because anytime an AFC team plays an NFC team, I'm always rooting kind of for the AFC team just because I just want to keep my options open. I just want as many NFC teams to lose as possible.
I agree.
But this one might be – actually, no. I probably still have to root for the Pats here because it could come – it might be close for that wild card spot. But speaking of it, Monday night, last game we haven't talked to involves my Eagles. We got the Washington Redskins are coming into Philly for the Monday night football game. The Eagles are now 4.5-point favorites in this game. I'm trying to keep level-headed with this team, Kyle. I want to get excited, but I've been heartbroken so many times before. But I have to say Carson Wentz back there as QB, the team, the feel, the confidence, it's just different. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just a different feel with Carson Wentz throwing the football. For a quarterback of this team than it was any more than Vic, more than Foles. I mean, we've had after more than McNabb, like after the McNabb years, we had some inconsistent quarterback play up until this moment in time when we drafted Carson Wentz. I don't know what it is about this redheaded ginger, but I trust him, and we're great on third down. We're able to run the football. Our defense is able to stop the run, and like these are all pieces that you want to see when putting together a good football team, and it seems like we have it. But I it's hard for me to get excited anymore. It's hard for me to get excited.
It's not very different than last year when you're 5-1 at this point last year. You're 5-1 right now. Is that right? Or 6-1? Yeah. I mean, that's what you were. It's really no different, but this is a different football team. Listen, this is a statement game. However you want to describe it, this is a statement game. And it's a divisional win at home in prime time. I think this could be Wentz's coming out party, right? I mean, I think people that have not seen him are going to see him if he's able to put it together. And Aguilar does what he's supposed to do, and the running game does what it's supposed to do. I think that this team, I have people in my own house that believe that it's going to be Kansas City. That would be a great storyline, Kansas City versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And I think that I think this team is far more real than last year's team was. But these are the games that you have to win. These are games that you know you've been heartbroken by before. You know that the Redskins have handed you your ass at home in your lifetime, where you got where it should have never happened, and it did. And it's happened to both of us. And so divisional games are scary, but this is a statement game. This says to me whether this team is real or not. A stamp on the forehead win today says this team's for real and could very and is likely going to be the one or the two seed. But it really all starts with this. It starts with this game. I believe that. But I believe it can be done.
Yeah. And just like after last year, you know, one thing that hurt the Eagles was that bye week. I think we had the week 4 bye week. The time off really messed with our juju a little bit. And we struggled ever since that bye week. Now the Eagles are coming off 10 days rest. They've been playing really good football. You just don't want that momentum to stint at all. Now they have a 10-day rest. It reminds you of the bye week last year. You know, now – and it's Monday night, so they're basically getting 11 days of rest. So you're kind of – you know, you're as an Eagles fan, you're nervous. You're nervous because usually rest is good. But when you're playing as well as the Eagles have been playing, you really don't want to stop that training momentum. And you have the data from last year when the bye really killed us and killed our momentum. I'm skeptical. Like, this game does make me nervous because it's the Redskins. We're coming off a long day rest, so it scares me. But I like the Eagles in this game. It just feels different. And I'll eat the 4.5, but I don't really care. Like, I don't bet on the Eagles games because it's either a win-win or a lose-lose for me, and I really don't. I don't like to play that game. So
don't double count on. I understand.
Yeah.
So I quickly am gonna say yes. I'm gonna agree with you and say, as we wrap up the show here, I'm saying Philadelphia statement game, and this team punches its ticket to the playoffs today.
All right, sounds good. Well, Kyle, that was a good hour of football talk. I hope everybody out there enjoys it, and you're not the only one that breaks controllers. Maybe we start a support group of rage throws. Maybe that's on the docket list.
It's a good idea. So. Look for updated content this week. You can always catch us on iTunes, as always. And, the power hour is complete. Good luck out there in fantasy. Good luck to all the players. Good luck to the Eagles, Steph, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good, Kyle. Take care.
All right. And we're out. Bye. Peace.